Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2582. My name is Carol Levine, and I'm Vice President ASCA, and I will be running the show tonight. However, tonight is question and answer night, and we do have Pastor Deborah Schleck with us, okay? And she will be speaking about a topic that is of interest to quite a few people, I know. The telephone number here is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. At any given time, you can call into the show and be a part of the panel, or if you just simply want to listen, that's okay, because what we're concerned about here at NASCA is for people to be educated, to learn, and to lift each other up. We do a lot of lifting each other up, you know, and to help in other ways as well. So, first I'm going to read the mission statement. And that is, we have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse, and that is trauma, sexual assault, violence, or violent physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do this two different ways. And one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem. We already know that. It's not just the United States, it's everywhere. Okay. Number two, offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information to anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, I want people that become very, very used to our website. I want you to really look at the website, and that is NASCA, NASCA.org. Just simply NASCA.org. That's our website, okay? If you go to our website, you will learn a tremendous amount of things just by opening up links. When I do presentations, when we could before the pandemic and all this other stuff that's happened, I would take most of my information right from the website. And it was well received. We have a lot of professional people who come on in different areas, and they add to our website, and we have quite a website. So I suggest that people out there listening, you go to the website, and if there's something you want to learn more about, like how to talk to your children about sexual abuse, it's out there. It's not just stranger danger anymore. We have articles on that. From A to Z, we've got articles, okay? So I want to bring that to your attention. And that's NASCA, NASCA.org, NASCA.org, okay. So tonight we have, again, we have Pastor Deborah Schleck. And she's from a military family. That's where she was from. And her mother was mentally ill and she is a survivor professional. She's living in Florida. She's trained in ministry, mental health, working with substance abuse, and is a trauma-informed social worker. She's everything all in one. She does a lot of volunteer work and community organizations, which I love, community organizations. Our communities are so messed up that a lot of our things that happen in our towns, in our cities, are because our communities are not in good shape, okay? And so that's a very important topic to me and subject matter to me. But anyway, the point is she is here. And I had asked her before the show started if there was something that maybe she wanted to address. And she has come up with a topic. Now, again, at any time, if you want to call in and add to this or ask her questions, okay. Now, this is a lady who's worked in all different types of fields and is now a pastor, all in one, as I said. So feel free to do so. That number, again, is 646-595-2118. Okay. So, Pastor, what was it you said you wanted to address?
Okay. As adults that have all pretty much had some kind of childhood abuse of many different kinds, I like to wanted to ask them, what is it when if you go to healing in anything and you use any method, what is it within you that you are trying to heal? So you can have some clear ideas. For one, if you go into therapy or a support group, you know the area you're needing to be working on at this point. You might have 20 different areas that you need to work on. But right now, maybe at this time, you're only working on one. And you need to be very much aware of what it is you're working on, because the others may not have yet come to your remembrance or been brought up to be working on it. So if you go to a support group of any kind and they start touching on, talking about somebody, relating their story about where you are still very sensitive about, you may need to excuse yourself because you could get re-injured, it would be called re-triggering. But what happens is it's like if you had a broken arm and it was healing, but it's not healed yet, somebody come along and re-breaks it. And that's sort of what triggering does. And you're back in that moment and the intensity and all your work. So I wanted to bring up to people, what is it that you are trying to get healed within yourself? Is it just one thing? Is it many things? Can you name them? Can you put, you know, and you may only know of one thing or a few things right now, and then maybe 6 months or a year from now, other things come up. But I wanted to just bring that idea about what is it, if you went to a therapist, that you're needing help for. Like if you go to a doctor, you say, I got a pain in my shoulder. And he starts, you know, does it hurt here? Does it hurt there? Is it a sharp pain on the scale of 1 to 10? You know, show the picture. Is it a dull pain? Does it come? Does it go? I'm looking. I don't see any cuts, you know, or bleeding. And he's trying to figure out, is it a bruise? Is it what is going on? And you can't tell him. But all you can tell him is, I hurt. So I wanted to just bring that up for discussion. And see what people think.
Okay, now I want to go to our panel, which I didn't mention before. We do have Pamela from Louisiana. Of course, Pamela's been on the show for a while, and she's a big part of NASCA. And, oops, my screen went black. It's okay now. I'm glad of that. But anyway, Pamela, is there a comment or something that you'd like to make about that, or a question you'd like to ask?
Sure. I'm sitting here writing all the areas I need to start working on while she's talking. And one of the areas that I'm really trying to get a hold on is, you know, spiritual. It's like I'm going to a next level and I'm in between the next level. You know, like I'm at a level now and I'm heading up to the next level, but it feels like I'm in limbo right now. It's like I can't quite put my finger on, you know, what I'm trying to do, grow spiritually, you know, because I don't know if you can define, Pastor Deborah, what spiritual abuse is.
Okay, sure can. Spiritual abuse is when we were children, our spirit's inside of us, is, you know, and it has it's in a different realm. But when the soul part of us gets abused, our spirit, because they're one, try to think of them as one. When one is abused, another is abused. When one's neglected, another. When trust is broken, if there's sexual contact, there is sexual spirit. There is fear in the spirit. There are, you know, frightening moments. There's darkness. There's sounds, smells. So it's a little different, but the spirit itself does get abused. And what happens is it has to also be healed, which is, as you're learning, it can be different than the soul, but both of them need it. Let's say if the spirit is afraid. Okay, how would you know that? How would you not, how would you help the spirit to be happy, to be healed from this? And typically what I have always done is the spirit feels like it has no parents. If it does, they've abused it, they've neglected it, and they need to be reconnected to a mama, okay? And just feel the spiritual side of love, which is called agape love, that it is loved. It needs to hear that. It's loved. You're valuable. You're wanted. You're beautiful. It's okay. I got your back. I'll be there in your dreams. I'll be there when you are sleeping. Mama's got you. Okay? Because usually in the natural, the mother is the life-giving thing, either through the breast milk or the bottle. Okay? And so there's a deeper connection to the mother than to the father. So for the first in the healing, the little spirit needs to go, I need a mama. I need somebody to connect back to, and you can do it. You can. I adopt spiritually people, even 80-year-old men, because their spirit's not 80. And their spirit needs to know, somebody loves me. I have a mama. I'm not alone. Then the little spirit has to drink in love, joy, peace. It can come from many different ways. And over time, it's like a little baby. It just takes that bottle and just drinks the bottle and sleeps peacefully. And slowly, just like we watch in the natural, everything you see in the natural, a natural child has to biologically eat. First you drink milk for a long time, then toddler food, and then you work your way up because your intestines cannot take steak when you're 6 months old. The spirit can't take much except just sweet, warm words, maybe from a pastor or a women's ministries, that we love you, honey. We got you. You're my daughter. You're my spiritual daughter. I'm going to be here for you. Oh, yeah, you're going to mess up. You're going, okay, but I'm here. I'm your mama. And what mamas do is the Bible tells us love anchors the soul. The love is the one for the spirit and the soul that anchors you in hope. You feel not alone. Eventually, you know, the daddy's voice does come in, but sometimes there are no daddies around. It's just the mama. And you can get your milk from a bottle, or it doesn't matter, but you get that contentment in an arm. You feel loved and sweetness. Eventually, the baby starts turning the attention in the natural to what we'll say a man's voice, and it starts learning that this deeper voice, this different facial looks, dad, okay, something like that, or grandpa. Now, if it's heard sweet words, okay, so my job as a spiritual mother, which I was ordained to do, was I was to take people who had no mother spiritually, which is agape love, turn their hearts through talking gently, kindly, I love you no matter what you do, and turn their hearts to the Father, not to Jesus, but to the Father, like you would, you know, in the natural. Then, because fathers usually are the ones that do the biological deeds of sex abuse, or boys, okay, they have the equipment. And the mother has been neglectful, looked the other way, or something like that. So the father figure to the spirit, it ain't not a nice one. I want nothing to do with that thing as a father. Okay? Because I know what fathers do. So a mother has to be the one to come in, and usually that's what your anybody, the spirit, it needs love. So spirit healing first starts, if you look just at a natural child, it needs a mama, that its words on the phone are kind, it's okay. And when you mess up, it's all right, I love you anyway. Okay? And the words just keep, you're just pouring in love. That's okay. And eventually then the spirit will go, do I have a father? Okay? It'll ask, who's my dad? Just like a little child. And you'll introduce them then to the father, not Jesus, but the father. And they'll start, because there's a bad, and you'll hear a lot, especially if you get probably abused in the church, you don't want nothing to do with this God who's a male figure and a father. And some nuns have done a lot of abuse, that you want nothing to do with mamas either, females. So the spirit is, you're dealing with God, you're dealing with relationships, you're dealing with the, we'll call it the satanic world that's in there within things. So you have to know that. And you have people that have dreams at nighttime, and they feel like they're having sex and being re-raped, and they are. Okay? Because that's another real world. But, you know, they think it's just a dream, but they get paralyzed at nighttime. They have flashbacks, you know, and it's all spirit work that's happening there. And so they have to be taught how to be in that and fight, and if they can't, that's what mama's for. Have you ever seen a mama protector? I don't care if it's a mama bear, protect our little cubs. So, and that's done. Okay, yeah. That's done through prayer. And that's done from the mama saying, you ain't getting my baby. You ain't going to, bad guy in the spirit, you ain't touching, you going to. I did this for my biological son. I got on my knees and I said, Satan and all you things, you are going to have to come through me. Do you know who I am? I am going to shield and protect my child. So a therapist, okay, a healer needs to have those qualities if they're going to do spirit work.
Okay. Can I mention something?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying a word that I've been that's been in my mind that I've been wanting on the spirit level to deal with, and that is dreams. I've been having the same recurrent dream over and over again. It just started about. It was within the last year, and it's about snakes. And some of them are little. Some of them are little bitty snakes that are the size of worms, and they're just all around me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the big snake bites me, I have to get to the hospital, and I go to the hospital, and they give me a big shot in the arm, and then they give me an IV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I can live. And
right.
So I don't know what this is about, and it's really bothering me.
Well, what happens is that once you start understanding, there's two worlds. Coming from a past story of you, the earthly world that we see out here, it has snakes, okay? It has sharks, bad things, dinosaurs used to. They are a reflection of what's in the spirit, okay? Now, the spirit world, where God is and Christ is now and the kingdom is and all that, well, there's another kingdom with bad stuff in it. And they, if you understand spirituality, is Jesus died for the spirit. so we can come on up. The physical body's going to die. Okay? So what happens is there is stuff going on, and when you're sleeping, your conscious awareness and your subconscious are sleeping. Okay? But your spirit is not. The spirit world's 24/7. There ain't no sleeping. You can rest. And so what happens is you're under attack, your spirit. There are real spiritual snakes, and they do bite, and they will attack. Now, some people would, you know, I don't interpret dreams. God can tell me what they mean. But typically, snakes put in, if it were in the earthly realm, most of them got venom. And they were trying to kill you. All right? What happens to the spirit, okay, and will eventually show up in your physical body. There may not be any venom that the doctors can find in your physical body from the snake bite in your dreams. But you can have pains. You can be under duress. You can be panicking. And they go and check, and there's nothing there. But it happened because your spirit is connected through your soul to the physical body. And the spirits on the other side want to punish you. They do not want you healed. They want to torture you because they can't do anything to the big guy. But if they can hurt you, torture you, okay, sort of by proxy, they hurt him. And so you are a valuable thing that God died for. He loves you. They can't stand that. Now, they can't do anything to him, but they can hurt him by hurting you. Now, they have to wait till you go to sleep. Okay? And you just think you're having a nightmare. Or you ate something bad. Or you watched a scary movie or something. But they're torturing, attacking the spirit. And what happens is a spiritual mother would know that. Okay. And she would come in with prayer. And she'd put some protection there and take care of business. And that's what a spiritual, and you hope usually in healing, that's sort of what the therapists are trying to do. Sort of at that level. Be an anchor for you, a safe place, give you guidance and wisdom and, you know, help you see what's going on. But because they're more professional, not relationship oriented, they don't believe in getting in that type of relationship, you know, to help you. Pastors or shepherds, it's like, honey, we got a group of little ones out there. My job is, if I have to stay up all night long and pray and protect you. My job is, like we learn out of the Bible, you like David, you stay with the sheep. You might be the mama. You might be the shepherd. Your job is to protect. And I try to use earthly animals, okay, because they're going to protect their little babies. They can't protect themselves. And you'll see it in the animal kingdom. The ones that need to eat, which is all of them, they will pick off the babies right out of birth, or the ones who don't know anything. They'll eat a whole little baby elephant and alligator. They'll get the weak and the sickly. They'll get the babies. So they can't run as fast and they can't fight. And to get a big elephant down, a big adult, they need a pack, okay, lions. But one lion can take a little baby out, okay? And so you learn from watching nature, the animal world, what's going on. You take it into the spiritual. You take it. Now, flashbacks, you're just in the spirit and you're reliving. The enemy is reliving for the spirit things that have been traumatic for the spirit, that have frightened it through activities in the natural. and there's rape, there's sexual abuse, there's biting, there's psychic vampires. They feel like they're sucking all your whole body, your knowledge out, your brains out, you know, like a vampire with your blood. It's a real world. Now, the therapist, hopefully the pastors and a lot of, we call them deliverance ministries, or the word will help you. And there's learning, but until you get there and can sort of like an adult, until you can protect yourself, know the law, mama's got to be there, okay? Or a father figure, okay? And you have to be protected spiritually for a while, and you have to grow. Does that help answer your question?
Ma'am, about growing, it's like I'm at this left point now where I've got to move on, and it's like the enemy's trying to stop me, you know,
yes,
from
ma'am.
Moving on into greater
okay.
areas. Into, we have a major vision that the Lord's given us. We're going to be building an evangelism conference center, and
mm-hmm.
we're finding evangelists from all around the nation, and we're going to start a nationwide evangelism association.
When you go in that direction, you in the bullseye of the enemy. Okay?
Right.
When you start going in that direction, evangelism means we're going to go out to people that don't know what we know, and we're going to teach and talk and bring them in. You think the enemy's going to just sit back and let you do that?
No, ma'am.
He will attack you any way he can, but he hopes that, like, he'll just drive you crazy. And you go to a therapist or doctor and says, I can't sleep. I have these horrible dreams. And the doctor gives you some sleeping pills or antidepressants. So he starts dulling you out. They start thinking you're crazy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right? You start going in that direction. Even though you're in God's perfect will, he's told you to do it, and you're doing what you're supposed to. The enemy knows what God wants. And you are right in the bullseye. And if you don't know about spiritual, if you have some, we'll call them wounds from the past, open doors. Okay? Now, he can't send the snakes out openly. Mm-hmm. He could. But he going to do it sneakily, deceptively, under the concealment of dreams. Okay?
Okay.
And he's all right? And so what happens is you have to understand spiritual warfare. But when you're trying to do it, and it sounds wonderful, and you know you're doing the right thing, but he's going to be attacking them. Okay, if your church doesn't believe, I had this one pastor, he was having a school and in his church. You had to go to the state, it was going to be a charter school, and you apply to get the state to give you money out of the district to pay for your teacher. Well, the money was being held up. And I talked to him. He says, oh, he knew God told him to do the school. And the money wasn't coming to get the teacher and the desk. And here's what he said. Well, I guess God doesn't want it this year because the money's not coming. They go, didn't he tell you? Didn't you pray? And you're, yeah, but I guess, you know, because the money wasn't coming. God had to give him a dream about beavers damming up a river to stop its flow. He didn't believe that there could be spiritual things in the state's capital working through people to stop the flow of the money to do God's work. He wasn't there, but he had to tell him so he could pray. He had to talk to him like a child. It was a beaver, okay, doing this. He got it because he knew about beavers. So beavers spiritually were over in the state capitol damming up the money to stop it from flowing. But you couldn't talk to him openly about the spiritual blocking, because he didn't believe that anything could stop God from doing his thing. But he was attributing that this was God just didn't want it this year. But it was really the enemy that was doing it. Because God wants you to blame, Satan wants you to blame the enemy. So if you and your people don't have that understanding, everybody should be under attack. Their children will be under attack. The finances of the church, the people, COVID will run through it. He'll do anything he can to stop it. Okay? And you have to be aware of that. You might give everybody nightmares.
Okay? Okay, let me stop you for a minute here, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Okay. There is a spirit world, absolutely. And I'm a born again Christian. I was born again in 1975, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
We had our church group and we had our prayer group, and we're very much into God and into the Lord, and I still am. That's all. Okay. Now, one night, this group of people came flying into our church. By the way, it was a Catholic church, and the priests were involved with us. Okay, it was run by the priests.
Mm-hmm.
These people came flying into our church, and they were running around, 200. We had over 200 people, and they're running around, and they're talking about Satan and saying that we're Satan, and they're really the good ones. Oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
all these things are coming out of their mouths, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anything they could do to disrupt the service of what we were having, you know. And then they left. And they never came back again. But I saw hatred and darkness on their side. And, of course, their acts were not godly. Let's put it that
way. Right.
We do know that there is the light side and the dark side out there. We do know that a lot of that goes right through. I'm not going to get political here. But it goes right through the politics of today. We understand all that, those who understand. Yes, I understand what you're saying. Now, I don't know exactly what Pamela is talking about, starting something here, but it is true, that when you are trying to, no one's saintly, okay? None of us are God. None of us are Jesus. None of us are saints. And I certainly am by far a saint, okay? Now listen, I have a lot of imperfections. But the point is this, when you try to do good at times, yes, you can be attacked. That's true. Now, the snakes, as I was taught and trained when I was a part of the healing ministry, because I was many years ago, that was to represent, of course, Satan. We all know this from the Bible even, okay, with Adam and Eve and the apple and then the snake and all this other stuff. We understand that that's snakes. But do you have a direct question, Pamela, that can give, and maybe, you can give her a direct answer? Because to people who are listening, they're not going to wonder. They're probably out there because they don't have the background that you have or Pamela has, and I have some, yes. They're not going to understand all of this. They're going to think that it's all a big bunch of mishmash. There comes my Italian out, a bunch of mishmash. Excuse me.
I've got a question here.
Let her ask a question, and then let's go to a direct answer. I understand you. Pamela understands you. But there's a lot of people out there who are not going to understand what you're talking about. So let's kind of like zero in so that we can make it more so that everyone can hear and benefit by it. What you're saying is spot on. It's spot on, Pastor. And I understand that because of what I went through in 1975. Okay. But let's go to here and now because maybe we can, bring it more together, okay? And her question will be answered. Go ahead, Pamela.
Okay. Wanting this gone, or is this something that's supposed to... I just don't understand, what the dynamic and the reasoning. I know I'm praying about it, but... I don't know if I'm seeking an answer or if it's just wait, or I guess since I'm questioning it, probably because I never do anything unless I get a clear answer. If I have a question, I don't move.
you know. So my question is, you know, what?
Okay.
Okay,
you would identify then, we'll say on a list, that you need some healing from these dreams. Okay? So that would be, like, number one, you're having some dreams, and you don't know much about them, you don't know anything. So if you were in therapy, you would want to ask your therapist, do you do any kind of, do you have any training in interpreting dreams, or do you know what dreams mean, or, you know, because some do, okay, some actually do, and, but that would be an area that you could identify that you need some answers to, some healing about, okay, and now, if you were in a support group, and somebody starts, and you know this about yourself, you're having these, you're not really talking to anybody about them, and it's causing you some problems, and you don't know, and you get in a support group somehow or something, and somebody starts saying, can I tell you a dream I just had? And they start talking, and the first thing that comes up is snakes or something. You might want to excuse yourself, okay? Because at the same time, what happens is there's things you hear. There is group trauma, okay? There is re-triggering that can occur. Not that that person is meaning to do that. But if that is an area that you are, we'll say, praying about, trying to get answers for, you may want to avoid, people that just talk about it and don't know what they're doing. Dreams, some people do say they do dream interpretation, and they got all these, oh, if you dream about this, it means that. But if you study it from the biblical perspective, only God can interpret what is going on. So you have to ask him. But to the question I brought up is what needs healing? If you decide, like you put that at number one, this is number one on my list, and I'm going to see many different, there's probably books, you could Google it about dreams, you could look on Google, what are dreams, there's a lot of people that teach on them, do a lot of research on it, talk to a therapist, you could bring it up in a support group, but what you want to be very careful of, other people are having dreams, and they're not nice. And they're frightened, and that some of them have had dreams since childhood, and it's very frightening. And you can, without meaning to, you know, trying to get your answer, I wouldn't go to somebody that has been abused for an answer because they don't have it. Go to people that have studied it, and there's a lot of books, dream interpretation. Study, watch videos, and be careful because, you know, snakes are scary for a lot of people. So if you had another one that was about something else, falling off cliffs or something like that, you know, and people are kind of, I want you to be able to identify, like if you're working in an area, doesn't matter if it's in the, so say you're depressed and you're working in that area, or you have a lot of fear. They call that in the therapy world anxiety. I like to use the word fear. It's really fear of death. Or if you're depressed or something.
Dr. Deborah, could it be a phobia? That I have a could phobia?
Be.
What is a
Which
phobia
is a
exactly?
Fear. It's a fear of something that you believe at a deep level you're going to die. People are afraid to cross bridges, afraid to get into elevators, afraid to go outside. And it can be anything, okay? And what the fear is, if you study the word, it's a fear of death. Okay, you feel like I'm going. Panic attacks in the mental health world are severe attacks of fear. So much so your breathing's affected, your heart rate goes up, okay? And it's fear, I'm going to die, okay? This one lady, she couldn't cross bridges. She had been raped. And she would panic. People panic. They get at a red light. I can't remember which way to go. And the fear, which is death. And if you study fear, it is an emotion. It's in our body. We have it, the fight or flight syndrome. Okay? Yeah. It's adrenaline. It's all kind of chemicals, too. So we'll be safe. It's also, and it's connected to the soul. And there's, you know, it's fear. If I don't do something, if I go forward, some people, you know, they're afraid of bugs and all kinds of things. So, and something, usually if you've had some experience as a child with a certain object, or your parents talked about it, or they, you know, dogs are bad, or you live with a dog next door that growls or something, you know, you get fearful, okay? That can stick with a child because it imprints in the soul. And for a long, long time, the soul and the spirit are one. So fear goes back and forth. So you could have your, at nighttime, okay, you could be fearful, your spirit is, and you don't know it. Could be the snakes. Maybe you had an event and you don't remember, or you had, you know, you saw a snake or something. And I can't tell you, you know, but if you identify that as an area of healing that you want to, you can talk with your pastor or just people that are confident or therapist or something like that. And most of them will be willing to listen, and you're usually not going to trigger them. But if you went to a support group, and you started talking about the dream and telling what was in, you're going to, the other people it could really affect, and they would be re-traumatized. There are cases when you come to certain abuse, okay, where snakes are physically used, okay, and with children, okay. And if you look at history and ancient history and the Egyptians and stuff, snakes have been a part of, you know, they're natural and alive, and some are poisonous. So, but I would identify that, do some study research, and see if you can, you know, find out what it is and get past it. Then that's healed, and then you bring another area up. And you might go along for a while and you're doing pretty good. And then something happens and you get triggered. Well, then that's, you're not healed of what got triggered yet. It's like you had a weakness in your arm that it was healing. It maybe been cut and you hit it on the door and it bruised it. So now you're back in pain again. And the rich, and that's what re-triggering does. And without, it's just words, it's pictures, sounds, it's smells, time of the year. And it's to re-traumatize you. If those people who've had, we'll say, all kinds of brainwashing with it, they actually, the triggering will change them from one personality to another.
Yeah, right, and there. Stop right there. One personality to another. Now, usually, in the field of psychiatry, I am not a psychiatrist, but I worked with them. I'm a state certified technician, so I learned a lot.
Uh-huh.
Now you know this as well as I do. The object of it, look at the way that a snake is made. Okay, it's long. It's actually a representation of the penis. Okay. And the penis, like with people who are schizophrenic, what they do is a lot of times they'll see things darting at them. They'll be seeing, trying maybe even to have a job. I knew someone that had a job, and she was trying to, you know, look at the screen and concentrate, you know, computer, and she saw things out of her peripheral vision that were coming towards her, and they were all sharp objects, and that represents, and she was sexually abused, that represented, in her case, the penis, because that is what her therapist had told her, okay? In the spiritual world, where people may or may not have been born again or whatever, or maybe they had been sexually abused or not, it too represents, again, like abuse of the past many times that comes forth in like a snake form, or it can come forth like in like a nail, like with the Christians where Christ was, you know, crucified and the nail, he had the spikes, things like that coming flying at him. It's all in the mind, and it's also of the spiritual world, and yes, it can be on the dark side. Now, these are the things that you're talking about. And now, in Pamela's case, she just mentioned something about a huge organization that she wants to, you know, start or something. It could be an attack, if you will, and I'll use that loosely, from the dark side, and that is why she's having the snakes. Because what does a snake represent in the Bible? We know this. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's bad. So that could be sort of like an attack. How long have you had these dreams, Pamela, of the snake?
It's been going on, really, I just have to say, most of 2020. It's just, and it's not stopping. I've had one in 2021, too. And
okay. So it isn't that long.
Yeah, they're continuing. They're continuing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
now let me ask you something else. What you were talking about, which I don't have any information on yet, but what you were speaking about, how long have you had that thought in mind that you'd like to start or be a part of this in you know, this movement?
1993. It's been almost what's 1993 from 2021.
Mm-hmm. And now you're very, very much at the point where you're thinking about, I want to do this, or I want to be a part of this movement, or whatever it is. This is something that's becoming very important to you.
It's definitely getting closer now that my husband's retired, and we're just pretty much waiting, for God to move on it.
Right. So I think this is why now. These snakes might have some, relevance to what we're speaking about. And, let me speak a little bit to the pastor. I used to have horrific dreams, nightmares. And it was always people chasing me. And it was always in the dark, and it was always in the woods. And where am I now? I'm in the woods, all right? Oh, God. But anyway, okay. I would come to the top of a cliff as I'm running, tripping over little bushes, branches, whatever the heck it was. Too dark to see. I'm alone, and these people are chasing me. They were all men. Okay, no dogs, just men. Okay, and I would come to the edge of the cliff, and I knew that if I continued, because I was so high up, I would die. I would fall to my death, and then I would wake up. I had that same dream year after year after year after year. And finally, I wasn't every day. No, certainly not. But at times I would have it throughout the years. Finally, I got so mad at that dream, okay, that I just said terrible words in my brain like I did with my panic attacks because I got over them this way too. Not through medication, not there's anything wrong with medication. Or not through even therapy of any kind. I got mad, and I took control, but I said a prayer first because I do believe in prayer. That's how I stopped drinking, boom, like that. That's how I stopped smoking, boom, like that, with a prayer first. And I stopped having those dreams, and I stopped my panic attack. Now, instead of being afraid of wide open spaces or even in huge stores, I couldn't stand people looking at me. People would look at me. And then with the panic attack, for God's sake, you blush, you flush, you sweat, you shake, all these things that go with panic attacks. And, yeah, you think you're dying. And sometimes I wish I did because I'd rather die than go through that, okay? And I don't have to tell you how that feels because you understand the idea and the philosophy behind the panic attack. So I think sometimes, with in my case, I can't speak for other people. No one can. But I can say that I got to a point in my life where I got so fed up with things that were holding me back that I just said, no more. and I said my prayers, and I said no more. And with my panic attacks, I had maybe three after I did that, started doing that little tiny routine, because that's all it was. It's like three times, and they were gone. So I think that we can get caught up too heavily. I mean, this is my interpretation and my own thought process of this subject matter here. I would get too caught up when I was part of the healing ministry, when I was a part of the church, and I was a big part of that church. And that was St. James in Red Bank, New Jersey. And I have a lot to be thankful to for that prayer group, or I wouldn't be sitting here today. I would be dead. Okay? Now, but I think that we can get too involved to the point where it controls our lives, where we can't think anymore with the brain that God gave us. So sometimes we have to use a little common sense, okay? A little bit of common sense. So,
well, Carol, can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's weird about it, and Pastor Deb, I wanted you to listen to this too.
Okay.
It's not that I want this to go away. I'm not saying, please go away, dream. I'm not saying that. It's like I have a peace with it. It's like, you know, I'm wondering what's happening, but I'm not saying it has to go away. It's not scaring me to death. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Well,
what
Carol was saying is, if you will, quickly, I don't think God sends, when you're one of his kids, if you get a dream like this, usually two things can happen. One, it drives you to God to ask him questions. What is going on? What right do the snakes have to do this? What are you trying? Why is this happening? So you go to him. He might tell you to study, look on the internet, read books, whatever, to get the answers. Sometimes that's how I get them, because he wants me to be informed. Then other
I did that, and God had me go to, Moses when he raised, when they sent the snakes. God sent the snakes in because the Israelites were complaining, and in the desert, and I think God said lift up the pole with the bronze serpent on it, make a bronze serpent on the pole, and lift it up, and if the people looked at the pole after they got bit, they didn't die. They got healed.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what the name of the ministry is? Our ministry that I'm talking about is Jesus Lifted Ministries. And Jesus said he referred to that pole, and he referred to Moses, and he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Mm-hmm.
And he became the Savior instead of the serpent.
Well, we'll get in a little theology here. Serpent, which is what all humanity became, its image and likeness, had to get on the pole and die. Okay? So that's what that is. If you look at yourself on the cross and you say, that was me, that was my old nature, I was in the image and likeness of the serpent, okay, I'm on the pole. If I look at that, I see my death. Okay? But how God does dreams, he can do you the way he did Joseph in Egypt. You can hear a dream, you know, the Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph gets quiet, and God is telling him what the dream means. The magicians couldn't get it, because God gave the dream, because he wants you to come to him so he can tell you what it means. So that's one way. Some people believe that snakes mean this, and that God's not even a part of it. And other times it can be an illegal attack. They have no right to do this. These snakes are chasing you. They're from the enemy. Okay, they don't have a right. And you do what Carol did, and you say, no, that's enough. I stop you right here in your tracks. You can pray that before you go to sleep, and you tell, proceed to tell in your prayers who they are. You ain't going to do that, okay? No. If you show up again, I'm going to put fire on you, okay, in my dream. So you can do it that way. But you have to kind of, you go, God, is this from you? Okay? Is it from Satan? And that's where, like, what Carol was saying is you pray. Once you take authority and you get some direction, okay, that kind of thing, all right, then, you know, they go, oh, darn it, like with Carol, oh, darn it, she took authority over this stuff. She spoke, she prayed, and it stopped. And she was able to get healed and moved on. But a lot of people don't take authority before they go to sleep. They don't pray, I desire sweet dreams. An enemy, if you show up, I know what to do. I've already prayed ahead of time. Okay? But then sometimes, like in Joseph's case, the dreams were given to the Pharaoh. Nobody knew what they were but God. And God gave Joseph the interpretation to save a nation. Okay, and only the Pharaoh knew what they were. So dreams are used, and a lot of your prophets had dreams. They were taken on spirit trips out of their body, and they would come back and said, I just had a vision and a dream. A lot of your, what you call seers, your prophets, they have dreams and visions at the night. And okay, so there's a lot about that. And it can be from either side. It can be good things, bad things, pre-warnings, premonitions, something that's going on now that you have to, like Carol did, deal with and take authority over. And that's something between you and God. And he knows, and he might just, for you to spend time talking to him. And I, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, I know what it means. And if somebody tries to tell you what it means, then you go, well, Lord, is that the truth? Only you know. I don't know. Nobody. And did that person tell me the truth? Because God could tell them what it means. But I would put that on your list. Put that at the top. Okay? A lot of stuff, if you listen right now here in America, a lot of things seem to be released. We'll say serpents, okay, politics, all that stuff, a lot of it going on, a lot of people talking about, you know, darkness is coming upon, all kinds of things are happening. Could it be a part of that? Could be. Could be that, you know, who you voted for and they coming after you. Could be. I don't know. But if it's something that is a continual thing where you cannot sleep, and get your rest at night, okay? Then you can't be healed. Your body doesn't get healing. Your mind doesn't rest. So it's interfering with your health, the dreams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you got to sleep peacefully. So I would just put that on the list and approach it from many different ways to either have it stop like Carol did, okay, or get the interpretation so you'll know what it means. Does that help?
Yes, ma'am, it does help very much so.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Okay,
thank
well.
Thank you.
One of the things that a lot of people don't realize in mental health work is that, you know, the subconscious part of us, it has dreams too, you know, and people are having flashbacks in their dreams and all kinds of stuff, and they don't like to talk about it, and they get paralyzed in their dreams, they're having sex in their dreams, you know, and they look around, they feel like they're suffocating, and, you know, they feel like there's things coming in the room or all kinds of things, and if you talk about that with a mental health person who's, they definitely think you off. You're psychotic here, you know. You have broken from reality. We need to get you antipsychotic. So, but some therapists and psychologists are trained to listen to this.
Okay.
And so they, and others don't. So it is an area that does need healing.
Right. Dr. Absolutely. I mean,
Deborah. Deborah, my husband's on the show coming on and see if he wants to make a comment.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
His name's Mark. His name's Mark. He's from Louisiana, too.
Okay.
You're on, honey.
Oh, hello. Good night. Good morning. I mean, good evening. I wanted to say, I know what I just have some insight, or maybe I'm not saying that I have a direct, word about this, but here's a thought. Okay. We know that in the Bible, the snake does represent Satan, and it's from the garden, it's all the way up through the time, even into the book of Revelation. He's the great serpent. But check me if I'm wrong, but God developed sexual union to be according to his plan, and Satan has done perverted that from the very beginning all the way up to now. And what I'm talking about, he's perverted it in a sense where he child abuse, sexual child abuse, pornography, anything you can relate to that's definitely out of God's plan for the sexual union, he's perverted it. And Pamela, in my thought, knowing her so well, is yes, there is a vision for evangelism, but knowing her heart, since she is a survivor from sexual child abuse, that maybe these things are coming at her because her desire for the last 2 years is just to help people get healed from sexual abuse as children. And she tries to help and wants to help adults. Now, all last year, that's been on her heart. She's done passed out her book and everything, free of charge all over the place. And that's her desire. Now, it would seem to me that now that she's part of NASCA, which has only been the last couple months, even though she was part of the family for the last 2 years, now her work is a little bit more intense, and she has such a desire to help people, and that's all those listening out in the audience, to help them get past the sexual abuse and get on a healing journey and become advocates, get past the victim and the survivor and get into your healing journey. That's one of her great desires. Now, I would believe that Satan, using snakes because that's his nature, he's trying to attack her from doing that as well. And that's the thing. Everyone on NASCA is a target because they're trying to stop something that is so that he is so adamant of trying to destroy the sexual purity that God created. He's doing it to children, adolescents, teenagers. He's trying to do that, and people at NASCA, Pam included, are trying to stop this. They're on the front lines. They're trying to help people out there, and it just, who's to say who gets the dream? Pam obviously has got the dream about these snakes and things attacking her, but it's because, in my opinion, she is trying to do a work to stop what Satan is trying to do, destroying children's lives and adolescents and teenagers with sexual abuse, child abuse, violence of any kind. And so that's just my thought about it. And the thing is, the scriptures tell us to have patient endurance and faithfulness. And like I think she's given this to persevere and help her and all those who are listening from NASCA to just stay strong, to stay firm, stay strong, and patiently endure to help the people who are listening tonight even to get you can be healed. You can be on a journey to set you free from the trauma, the tragedy, the evil that was done to you. And that's what that's my insight into it, that, you know, just for everyone involved to be, have patient endurance and continue on the journey, continue on the work, because you are targets. He does not want to have sexual purity. He wants it all destroyed. He wants to attack every child, and that's not, that can't be. So that's just my insight, my thoughts on the matter about snakes and everything, knowing Pamela and knowing Naska, Miss Carol and Bill and the other hosts and other people, that's their goal, to put this to an end, this sexual abuse. And however, that's what they are. They're on the front lines.
From the spiritual side, you're not going to stop Satan from doing the child abuse as long as he's here. But what he doesn't want to happen is like the cross. He doesn't want there to be hope. And what can happen is once somebody's had this and they get healed and they start shining out as a beacon of hope and healing, that's when the attacks come, because it's going to happen. But if there's somebody out there, like NASCA, anybody there, says, okay, bad things happen, but you can get healed. There is hope. And I'm a living example of that. And I'm out here shining that light out. Okay, then they go, we can't have that. Okay, we want people, the other side wants people to stay hopeless. There is no help. Just go to mental health, take your medicine, and there's no hope for you. And you're going to just have to be like this and always, no healing. And if you try to go that way, then the ones who are trying to heal and help people, when I started working, I was a mental health counselor. God called me out of that to help people his way. I started with hardcore multi-generational Satanists, occult, vampirism, the goth movement, nasty stuff. I've been poisoned, shot at, almost stabbed in my own home, false accusations. I had to hold and love. The church attacked me. The people attacked me. I was dealing with international leaders and deep stuff. And I had, and all I was just loving them, just being a mama, loving them, talking tenderly to them. When they attacked me, I still had to love them. Okay, so when you're stepping into that, helping other people, and you say, you can be healed. There's hope for you. Satan doesn't want humanity. He wants to abuse them, and then he wants them to have no hope. He doesn't want them to go towards healing. He wants them to, you can go to a mental health counselor, get on medication, but you're going to be disabled, and you cannot work, you cannot think. You know, you're just nuts. And so if you step into that helping people, the attacks will come, the dreams will come. Wait till you start getting shot at in your dreams. Okay? And that happens. It's a real world. And if you have that heart to help people, and you're a part of NASCA that's doing that, and you just keep staying faithful and keep going, your light is shining, you are telling everybody there's hope. Okay, something bad happened, but you can get healed. There is hope. You don't have to stay that way. And that's what usually, when the attacks, when you really start getting serious, okay, and you tell people about it, you give a book out, you do that, they come and you have to know it. You go, you already lost buddy on the cross, fair and square. You ain't got no authority. You can attack all you want to. I just put the fire of the Lord on you. I send an angel after you. And it's still warfare, okay, as long as we're down here. Right. So that's what happens with a lot of people. And he says, well, I'll just torture you and I'll vex you. You heard about being vexed in your spirit, and I'll torment the spirit and I'll just keep attacking. You don't know I'm doing it. You don't know what I'm doing. I'll just wear you down in your sleep. Then you don't sleep well at night. It's so your body doesn't get healed. So then I'll send my viruses, and your mind, it gets clouded. It's a integrated attack. And, you know, when you're trying to help people, you got to have some courage, guts, faith, patience, endurance, and you just got to stay in it. Okay, and I have a lot that they can't stay in it. They can't take the attacks. They can't take it. It's too hard. And you have to get a soldier's mentality. And you mm-hmm. have to be, no matter what, I ain't stopping. I saw my Savior. He didn't stop in the pain. He went to the cross. He went to the end. He endured for me. I can at least do that much. So... and when you offer that healing out there to people, oh, my gosh, you bullseye, the snipers are on you, okay? And some, maybe in her childhood, there was a relationship with snakes, but it's a sneaky way, okay? Because snakes, a lot of times, they're fast, and they're slithery, and they got fangs. And you could have had an event with a snake, and maybe, you know... And they're frightening as a child, which, hey, you know, we got them around here, water moccasins, big things, okay? There's pythons that they swallow things whole. And so snakes are a part of the earthly world, okay? And I had a case where I was out in my car. I was going to my car, and a snake was on the hood. Frightened me to death. So I get out of my car, and it goes under my engine. And I get out. Okay. Well, eventually came out, and fear paralyzed me. Okay? This guy that was there said, drive the car down the street. He'll come out. I ain't doing that. He could come out and get me. Well, he did come out, but he went up a tree, and he ate a baby bird. Swallowed that thing whole. And you know what I learned? Fear will paralyze you, but something will... innocent will die because I was paralyzed in fear for myself. That's
okay,
a hard
we have to stop
time.
There. We have to stop there.
Okay, go ahead.
What you're saying here, yes, what you're saying here, fear will paralyze us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that many, many, probably most survivors go through one time in their life because they have fear. They suffer from all different kinds of fear. Because of what's been done to them, they've been hungry. They've been, you know, maybe they're hungry. Maybe they've been beaten. Maybe they've been sexually abused. Maybe they've been neglected. All these things. And some of us have gone through all of it, and we have to learn how to, with therapy or without therapy, with medicine or without medicine, whatever which way works for you. You have to learn to step over that fear, and it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't mm-hmm. happen overnight. Now, I do know that people who don't have God in their heart, okay, if they don't have a relationship with God, okay?
He can still heal them. They can still get healing.
They can be healed, yes. But the journey is going to be much longer and harder. And, yes, you can go under attack. I've seen that.
Well, let me tell you a story. I read a book about this lady. She'd been mm-hmm. severely abused, true story. And she got with some psychiatrist as an adult and paying insurance, and then her insurance would run out. So they said, well, we can't see you anymore. So she got with this other one, and her insurance runs out. And he says, that's okay. I care about you as a human being, and I will be here for you no matter what. And in that relationship where a psychiatrist generally loved another human who had a need, it wasn't charging her. God started healing her in her dreams at home. And I said, God, what's going on? There was no prayers, nobody, you know, no scripture. He said, but I work in the atmosphere of love. And I'll get my healing and my glory in this situation because that psychiatrist, even though she couldn't pay any money anymore, he generally loved her as a human being. And in that, I can heal. Because she wanted to be healed, and he was helping her. She didn't get healed in his office. She got healed when she slept at nighttime. True story. And he said, I can work in that relationship of love. And I'll get my glory in that realm. and what the enemy meant for bad, I'll turn it around. That taught me a whole lot. It doesn't have to about the love, husband with a wife. That was what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
love. True love is stronger than hate, and people don't realize that. Hate is
a big, bad
word, but love wins over. I want to ask you something right here. Well,
okay.
Let's get back a little bit to child abuse, okay? Because we've had really a heavy duty show on Satanism, on God, how we could be attacked.
Well, that was child abuse.
I know that. But I'm looking at your bio here, okay? And I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It says here she volunteers. Meaning you, of course. She volunteers with many community organizations. What exactly in these organizations is it what do you do in these organizations, and what are those organizations?
Well, I always believe that pastors in the church should have an
mm-hmm.
equal spot at the table, whether it's sexual abuse, rape crisis center, domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
Human trafficking. It didn't matter. We were trained to help people. We had a lot of us had unique training in spiritual relationships, marriage, all kinds of things. And
mm-hmm.
and in the community, though, if you're in that world, pastoral, you're not welcomed. Because they are trained in the mental health way. It's behavioral. It's psychological. This is not spiritual. Most of them got master's degree, social work, mental health, PhD,
mm-hmm.
psychologist. You're dealing with psychiatrists. You're dealing with medications. But I always believe that a pastor should be looked at as equal, sitting at the table and bringing spiritual stuff, prayers before the meetings, prayers for the policemen, prayers for all these people. I had hospital emergency room training, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I sat there with people dying, okay?
Right.
You're dealing, and if you're dealing with people who've been abused, there's always the question, well, where was God? Whoever they think. Why didn't he help? I prayed to him. Well, the therapist who doesn't really get trained in that can't answer those questions. And if you have abuse from the religious community, and there's religious cults,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
therapist, they might have cult training, but not spiritual. And so I was trying to get these people, most of them were Christians, or Jewish,
mm-hmm.
or Islamic, to accept, but they just weren't going to do it. And I had to go through a lot of certification trainings to be able to equally sit at the table with them and say, I was one of you. I was a state victims advocate. I am certified. I was a licensed mental health counselor. I did national lobbying up in Washington. I wrote the policies and procedures for national counselors. I worked with universities. I'm not just a nobody here, okay?
Right,
and so,
right.
But what happens is, in that world, in the community, they're wonderful, caring, loving people. They want to help, but they are trained and educated in the ways of the world. Now, they all go to church. Now, some of them have learned unique ways, and they, do all kinds of therapy and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I understand that. They are trying to help people be healed and recover and have peace in their life and resolve the problems of depression and anxiety. They love people. They want to help. It's just they do it from a different perspective and concept and are not really open to the, we'll say, spiritual, pastoral, coming alongside of them and working as a team with them. Now,
right.
I went into a mental health center where
mm-hmm.
I would work with crisis stabilization people who, Baker acted and stuff. And I said, look, you got three parts. You got a physical body. The psychiatrist is working there. They know that some of your chemicals are out of balance, and they're going to
mm-hmm.
give you some medication okay, or you got addiction problems, and we got to get the physical body healthy. You got a soul that's mostly messed up. You got what they used to call stinking thinking. You got behaviors you've learned. You've got ideas. And your therapists and social workers are going to try to help you deal with your feelings there, your concepts, your thinking, and help you make better decisions. Okay? We need them.
Yeah,
then there's your
absolutely.
Spirit. Then there's your spirit.
Well, that's well. Let me stop you. See, there we're coming to the end of the show. Okay, so I want to get something across here. You need both, and
yep.
you need them in equal, you know, ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are either going to be open to, you know, the pastors, or they're not going to be. They're
right.
more open,
they usually aren't.
Yeah, they're more open to the therapy and the medication because they want to feel better and they want to be
mm-hmm.
able to feel that feeling of better, and they don't quite understand the pastors and where they're coming from. Now, I noticed that the Bill is on here. His mic is open. Because we are coming to the end of the show, I do want to know, I haven't engaged him at all. I want to know if he has anything that he'd like to make a comment about.
Well, I've been sitting here waiting for an opportunity to speak because, you know, the original question was, we bring a certain set of priorities for ourselves to a meeting, to a recovery group, to a therapist, whatever. And what are we prepared to do about hearing something that's contrary to that set of principles? What I understood the original question was, is that close to what you want to just talk about tonight? Because it occurs to me that an awful lot of my growth has come from times when I've suspended the need to understand at all. In other words, when I didn't insist on getting it, you know, I didn't insist on anything in particular when I went to the function. If I went in with a preconceived kind of almost, we get kind of almost desperate, survivors do, a desperation to learn something today, to get it today, to make somebody understand what how it really is today, and all those kinds of thinking. Well, that is thinking for me. And I'm much better off if I go in with no expectation at all and just, you know, try to stay open to hearing what's being said rather than wait for my chance to jump in and say something. And I'll have a much better experience when I do it that way than when I go in, you know, trying to fix stuff, trying to run the show, trying to control the talk, trying to correct somebody, all these things that are really contrary to my own personal growth. And that's what I'm there for. And I think, you know, as I grow, even if I don't speak, people who know, you know, who recognize Bill's growth in some, you know, in some way, perhaps down the road, could be a long way down the road for me because I got a lot of growth to do. they acknowledge that, you know, that he must be doing something right. You know, that's it. He must be doing something right. And I'll find that I'll get more opportunity to express my experience, strength, and hope to people who kind of recognize that something's going on in me. Because a lot of us, we go with these notions that that are set in granite, you know, and that really harms our ability to be useful. I think if we are malleable, if we're open, if we're, you know, the word fear came up a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the acronym for fear, they say, is false evidence appearing real. It's that's kind of what I do experience. I know what's gonna happen. That's what I say to myself. I know what's going to happen. I know what he's going to share. I know what she's going to say. I know how they're going to respond. You know, when I do that, I'm setting myself for a really bad experience in the meeting. But when I go in and I say, you know, I don't know if, you know, anything's going to happen here, but I'm just going to be open to an experience, I frequently have a good experience when I go in that way. So that would have been my response early on in the show, Pastor Deborah, if I'd had an opportunity. And I know there's not a lot of time left, but I was trying to answer the question that originally came up, I guess.
Well, what I wanted to do was talk about that people, you know, sort of needed to kind of make a list sort of the different things that they would like to see healed within themselves. Like if it's, I've got some areas that I'm not sure about, you know, or if I've got some just old memories. It, helping people to get healed, sometimes you do have to know that what are the areas and of healing so that they can either talk in groups or talk to therapists or read books about or watch videos about. Like, and sometimes it's sort of like when you're in a child and you're in first grade, you have to learn reading and math and phonetics, and you have different areas that you have to learn and practice. And usually the first grade is introduction of new ideas. Second grade is we're just going to review and go over what you learned in the first grade. The third grade, we're going to introduce multiplication. And so it takes time for the brain to take in new information, practice it, develop it. Then you get another whole year in the second grade of review. And then you start a new thing. And so when you do that with healing, let's say you might work on one area for months or three or four areas for months and make progress in one area and no progress in other and back and forth. And some of those, what you would call them, set in concrete areas, they may take longer to get healed. And as long as you sort of have some idea that, hey, some stuff happened and I need healing. I've got some issues that are, you know, involving relationships, myself, and I need to work on it, whether it's however they choose to do that. Then it's sort of like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. I've got some direction. So that's sort of what it was about.
Mm-hmm. Well,
does that
help
your question, Bill?
Kind of, but I think what I'd have to say in addition is my assumption has to be that I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Even the stuff I think I know, I don't know. You know, I don't own it anyway, because I have seen myself come to a place in recovery where I thought I owned something. I'd experienced that. Good, I'm finished with that. And you know what? It comes back eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily right away. It comes back. So who am I to say I know anything? I mean, I really resonated with some of the talk that Pastor Deborah had about feeling marginalized at the table. Because
mm-hmm.
one set of people that's marginalized at the table is the person in recovery. And I brought this
that's
up at
right.
a seminar I attended. I attended this seminar yesterday where all the kinds of people that were in it were doctors and professors
mm-hmm.
and psychologists, and they all had letters after their name, and I didn't. And I brought it up. I also brought it up because part of the marginalization I was hearing had to do with the fact that they were bemoaning that there wasn't enough attention being placed on, as an example, one person said, the black female who was abused at a far greater rate than the white female, but it's the white female that we always see promoted on TV because they're cute, they're considered cuter and prettier and all this, more appealing by media. And I thought to myself, that's so unfair. And I went and I said to this person, if you want to, you know, in the same vein that I just said, being marginalized, if you want to have an effect in this area, then what I suggest is every time you go out, you bring a black female in recovery with you to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should do. You know, don't sit there and say, oh, society is way off track. Bring people who can speak to it out of their own personal experience. So this is what I'm saying, I guess. I know what I know, and I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I know sometimes.
Well,
I have to wrap the show up, guys. You know, let me tell you something. Bill, you were on and off, so I couldn't quite get to you. But and I didn't want to bother you. But anyway, that's all right. So anyway, we have 10 seconds left. So those of you out there,
bye.
Those of you out there who heard the show tonight, those of you who heard the show tonight, understand that there is all kinds of help out here. Okay, yes. Our guest tonight is a pastor, and then we have also the psychiatrist, we have the counselors, we have the therapists, we have even just people who can be mentors or whatever. And so take your choice, but believe one thing, God is there. He is alive. I know it. I know it, or I'd be dead. That's all I've got to say for tonight. For God's sake, wear your masks. Be careful. I don't know if any of them know what they're talking about out there when it comes to the COVID, but it makes sense to me to wear a mask, okay? That's what I've got to say.
Right.
And to keep your distance. Okay, I have to get off now because we're out of time. It already ended. All right, good night. God bless, and tomorrow will be another show. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Bless the children.
Blog Talk Radio.